Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Every sermon series and tie it back to our year theme. This year, the theme for Hope City is Bear Good Fruit. And so we are finishing our sermon series of Honor and Action with a message about bearing good fruit. Let me just quickly recap about what it looks like to bear good fruit. In order for us to produce good fruit in our life, we have to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. Just like if you plant a fruit tree in your yard, fruit just don't happen to grow on it. You have to be intentional of taking care of that tree to make sure that it produces the kind of fruit that it's supposed to produce, right? It takes water and nutrients and sunlight. For us that are trying to bear good fruit in our lives, it takes us feeding our spirit intentionally. To produce fruit on a tree, it requires us battling pestilence and bugs and things that might, like, disease the tree. To produce good fruit in our hearts, we have to be educated in spiritual warfare and be willing to engage and come against those things. And as Jesus concludes talking to people in Matthew chapter 11, about John the Baptist, his cousin, he's kind of voicing some frustration with them about the fickleness of their hearts, about their thoughts, especially towards the religious leaders of that time. I want to read to you what Jesus said. Now, let me recap a little bit about this series, about honor in action, because in case you missed the past couple of weeks, John the Baptist was in prison. He sent people to ask Jesus, like, are you really him? He needed to be sure. He's alone in isolation in prison, and he's feeling a little, like, uncertain. And Jesus kindly tells the people that come and ask him, listen, tell John what you see happen. People are healed. Demons are cast out, the dead are raised. Let them know that that's what's going on. And then he turns around to the people that are there, and he tells them what an amazing man John the Baptist is. Like, he tells them that he's the greatest prophet, the greatest person of their time. He kind of blows their minds, right? And I said last week, like, it takes a little bit of us going, what's being said behind the scenes when you read this? Because I could imagine the people, like, trying to badmouth John to each other and even to Jesus for him to turn around and say those things to him. The religious leaders had actually came against John the Baptist saying that, you know, he's weird. He doesn't feast. He doesn't, like, commune with anybody. He's out by himself in isolation. Then they come against Jesus because he does feast with people and he does enjoy a good time with people. He's like, he's a drunkard. They're saying all of these things. So as Jesus is finishing this section talking to people about John the Baptist, he kind of points his finger right at the religious leaders that are saying this. You ready? He's so funny. Get ready for a laugh, because this is what he says, right? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, Jesus looks at them and he says, to what can I compare this generation? Oh, it's like children. He just called them kids, like little kids. It's like children playing a game in the public square. They complained to their friends, we played wedding songs and you didn't dance. And then we played funeral songs and you didn't mourn. For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. But the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's like, you guys, make up your minds. What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want from John? And then Jesus says this, but wisdom is shown to be right by its results. Jesus just like slaps him across the face. Like, I don't know what you want from us, but let me tell you this. Wisdom is shown to be right by its results. I have one of my Bibles that I read from on a daily basis. It's the Life Application Study Bible. And what I love about it is like there's notes below the text that give like explanation of what could have been happening and what might have been the reason for what is being said. And here's what my notes said about this passage of scripture. It says, no matter what Jesus or John said, many rejected them and took the opposite view. They were cynical and skeptical because he challenged their comfortable, secure lives. Too often, we close our ears to God to justify the way we're living because listening to him may require us to change our actions or our choices. Amen. I could just totally stop right there. Huh. Dang, right? You might want to get out your phone and take a picture of that, just saying, because it's really good. The focus of today's message is found at the very end of our passage, but wisdom is shown to be right by its results. This story is repeated in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, and in verse 35, Luke says this, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Huh. Wisdom is something that we are supposed to seek out. We are told in God's word to seek out wisdom time and time again. Knowledge and wisdom are closely tied together in the book of Proverbs. Now, I want to explain something really quick, because there is wisdom that can be found outside of a spiritual life. Like, I can recognize that someone is a wise businessman, right? That same person might be a really terrible friend, might be a really terrible father, but is a wise businessman. But when we seek out spiritual wisdom that comes from God, it affects every area of our life. When I choose to seek out wisdom, I become a better mother, a better sister, a better friend, a better pastor, a better employee. Because God's wisdom transfers to every area of my life. Right? And in the book of Proverbs, knowledge and wisdom are tied very close together. This is what I read about. Someone wrote this about knowledge and wisdom in the book of Proverbs. It says, knowledge tends to focus on correct understanding of the world and oneself as creatures of the magnificent and loving God, while wisdom is the acquired skill of applying that knowledge correctly or rightly. Isn't that good? So then, if gaining wisdom is key to us bearing good fruit in our lives, then how in the world do we get it? How do we gain wisdom? I'm so glad you asked. Because here's some things that God tells us in his word to do. You want wisdom? You want to Learn how to apply what you are learning about me to your life so that it affects all areas of your life. Here's some things you should do. You ready? The first thing is this. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, it says this. Cry out for wisdom and beg for understanding. Search for it and hunt for it like hidden treasures. Then you will understand respect for the Lord and you will find that you know God. Only the Lord gives wisdom. He gives knowledge and understanding. Now, most of the book of Proverbs are written by Solomon, who's King David's son. I want to explain to you a little bit about Solomon and how God can use people that are unlikely. Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the woman that David stole from one of his 30 mighty men and brought her into his palace and impregnated her while she was still married to Uriah. And then, because he found out she was pregnant, he had Uriah killed on the battlefield. That son, born to David and Bathsheba, actually died. And then Bathsheba had Solomon. That's a pretty tainted past to be born out of, isn't it? And yet, King Solomon is known to be one of the wisest men in history. Why? Well, because when he took over the throne after David, God came to him one night and said to him, ask me for anything. I'm going to give it to you. I just want to read to you because it's so good. This is found in Proverbs verses, I said Proverbs. It is not Proverbs. I think it's in Kings. Whoops. You'll have to look. I put the wrong address in here. Right? But I do believe it's like in 1st or 2nd Kings. And it says this, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, David, my father, because he walked before you in fullness, faithfulness, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to come and how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered. Do you feel the overwhelmness in Solomon's heart here? He's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern your great people? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you've asked for this and have not asked for yourself a long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been seen before and none like you shall arise after. Bam. Now it goes on that God said to him, and because you didn't ask for wealth and riches, I'm gonna make you the wealthiest man in the world. I'm gonna make people splendor at the amount of wealth that you have. Because you were unselfish in what you asked for. If we want wisdom, the first thing is to follow after Solomon and ask God for it. Ask him. Guys, things come across my path almost on a daily basis that I'm like, God, I need wisdom on how to deal with this, on how to answer this. Give me a wise and discerning heart, please. If we just take that moment, take a breath, and step back from every situation that comes across our path. Okay, God, I need wisdom before I respond to this. He does it. He's so faithful. He's like, okay, here. Remember when you heard this? Remember when you read this in my word? Remember when this person told you this? Apply that here. That's what he does. Right? If we want wisdom, if you want wisdom, ask him. Invite him into every situation. The second thing is this. If you want wisdom, you have to intentionally seek it out. How do I do that? How do I intentionally seek out wisdom? Well, start here. Be in God's word every single day. Right there. Be in God's word every single day. Well, how do I do that? Like, where do I even start? You can start here. You know, we live in a country that God's word is readily available to us in every single way we could ever hope to have it. In print, online, there's an app. This is, if you have not downloaded the Bible app onto your phone, right now I give you permission, get out your phones and download the Bible app. It's going to change your life, okay? You should also, listen, if you don't have an actual Bible that you can flip open, get one. Get one. You can get them as cheap or as expensive as you want. I'm serious. Like, you could get them as cheap as $5.99. You think I'm lying? You can get them as cheap as free here today. Okay? I'm not kidding. You need a physical copy of God's word. There could be a day coming when you won't have access like we have today online. So get a physical copy of God's word. Read the book of Proverbs every month. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. They're short. They're very easy. Read one chapter every day. On the months that only have 30 days, just skip over chapter 31, okay? It's all about godly women, anyhow. I could quote it for you. No, I can't. I'm just kidding, okay? You know, on the Bible app, not only is there like every version of the Bible that you could think of, there's also Bible study plans that you could do on there. If you search the word wisdom, all of these different plans come up that you can like study about wisdom that are tied directly to God's word. You know what's even more fun? You can invite friends to join with you and you can study those plans together and you don't even have to be in the same room. I have people that I do Bible studies with every single day and I don't see these people very often. You can like grow together and sharpen each other by downloading this app today. Do it. Intentionally seek out wisdom. I want to read to you from the beginning of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Because this is how Proverbs begin. And this is like Solomon's cry out to each and every one of us. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. The purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Woo! That's Solomon opening up the book of Proverbs by, here's why I'm writing all of this stuff down. It's for your benefit. We are reaping the benefits of what Solomon asked God for 5,000 years ago. That's what we're sitting here reading Proverbs, and we're reaping the benefit of Solomon saying, God, I just need wisdom. And here they are at our fingertips for us to apply to our lives. Guys, that blows my mind. That blows my mind. So ask God for wisdom, intentionally seek it out, and finally, are you ready for this one? I think this is probably the hardest one. Surround yourself with wise people. Surround yourself with wise people. Well, here's what Solomon said about this. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 22 to 23. Plans fail without good advice, but they succeed with the advice of many others. People enjoy giving good advice. Saying the right word at the right time is so pleasing. Amen. The people that you and I choose to spend the majority of our time with should be ones that are seeking after the same things that we're seeking after. Do you mean to say that again? Listen, the people that you and I choose to spend the majority of our time with should be people that are seeking after the same thing as us. Now, does that mean that we should never be friends, we should never spend time with people who are not walking in relationship with Jesus? That is not what I'm saying. Hear me well. People who are lost, people who are not walking in relationship with Jesus need us. They need us to walk with them. They need us to take their hand and be like, come with me. Come on. It's so much better. But the ones that we spend the majority of our time with, the ones that we sit down and we seek advice from, should be the ones that are pursuing the same thing we're pursuing, and that's the kingdom of heaven. And as we grow in wisdom together, we bear good fruit. Right?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.